for he will have mercy and abundantly pardon. Become a partner, will you? Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Make your gift there on our website, saveus.org. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. And may God, by his grace, preserve us, a nation.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Western and Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you of the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, hopefully for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend Lowell Ponte, who formerly was the editor-at-large for the Reader's Digest, who's a profuse writer who's actually been in the writing business for many, many years, and certainly has come up with a number of books. In fact, he and a friend of his, Craig Smith, are writing a series of 12 books now to tell people what's going on. And we'll tell a little bit later how you get a free copy of his book, free telephone call, free delivery, because they're trying to get the American people to understand what's going on and help us get the message out. But without further ado, Lowell Ponte, thank you very much for being with us.
Always a great pleasure, Dr. Stan. And you, of course, are doing likewise as the beacon of truth in America.
Well, incidentally, we got your beautiful email. Thank you very much for sending it. My wife had sent Lowell some copies of new Oler's CDs of beautiful piano music, and suddenly we got a reply thanking us for them. But if you're out there in the listening audience and you like relaxing and beautiful music, Newell Ollers, and he was one of the great musicians of the last century. But with that as the background, what are we going to be talking about today, Lowell?
Oh, we have a whole treasure trove of things to talk about. Obviously, what's in the national news right now is that General Eric Shinseki, has stepped down as head of the Veterans Administration. This will be interesting for the president, who now has no one to stand between him and public opinion. We're going to be told that this solves the problem, that the interim head of the VA is going to be able to take over and smooth things out. And by all accounts, he's a good person. But we're still left with the question, when is President Obama himself going to resign? And by the way, someone who could no longer speak rapidly enough to cover the 26 lies per minute needed to communicate for the president, his press secretary, Jay Carney, apparently also stepping down as of today. And Jay Carney, a fascinating person. He is the husband. You know, there's a great deal of nepotism in Washington, D.C. His wife is Claire Shipman of ABC's Good Morning America. So the media tend to be deeply interwoven with one another in the Capitol. Jay Carney was, among other things, when he was a reporter, purportedly, he was one of Time Magazine's chief correspondents in Moscow. And it was fascinating to see in the Washingtonian just a few weeks ago, they did a story on Claire Shipman and her husband, and they had photographs of them and their children in their home. And people noticed, oddly enough, that their home was decked out with all kinds of posters from the Soviet Union. leaving us to wonder, was this simply nostalgia from his days as a reporter there, or when he became a convert there to points of view even farther left, or is this a sign of Jay Carney's real politics? People usually don't have Soviet posters up all over their house.
No, they really don't. And people must understand, ladies and gentlemen, that the media in America is controlled. Certainly a small number of people, a small number of corporations control the six major corporations that control 90% of the major media outlets in America. And as a result, of course, most of what you read, hear, see, and absolutely believe is not true. We have a wonderful book. It's called The New Media Monopoly, written by a left-wing professor who spent 30 years researching the control of the media. The New Media Monopoly, you need to get it. You need to get our four CD sets on media control. Give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, but our goal, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, our guest, Lowell Ponte, we'll be right back.
Gold and silver is tremendous value. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulating coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Garlic, there's no medicine, natural or pharmaceutical, that can top it. Whether it's your arteries, your immune system, your heart, or your brain, garlic protects in incomparable ways. And garlic not only boosts your immune system, but directly attacks all incoming bacteria, viruses, and fungi. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Most researchers use allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, which common garlic pills don't produce because acid in the stomach destroys the enzymatic production process. Garlazyme is the exception. Its patented alkaline mineral base protects the enzyme that activates allicin in the acidic stomach. And Garlazyme also buffers garlic's pungency, odor, and breath. It's sociable garlic. Buy Garlazyme in quantity for less than $9 a month, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955 to order Garlazyme now. Garlazyme, it's the goodness of Mother Nature for civilized society. 866-674-3955.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High-protein, high-energy, freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations, or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD. Or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
Suddenly, this is Dr. Stan, I guess is Lowell Ponte, simply talking about progressivism and this old philosophy. It encompasses both Nazism and communism. They both certainly reject God. They reject certainly the idea of individual freedom. They believe that certainly the intellectual with his mind is going to be able to bring heaven here on earth. And they are certainly working to do everything they can to circumvent our Constitution. But unfortunately, they've gain key positions in both political parties. I believe there's a subversive element that controls Washington, D.C. today, and nobody wants to say it, but they're leading us towards destruction. The only hope for America is to return to individualism, because that was the very foundation of this country, individualism under God, which was, of course, the secret to our success for so many years until it was taken over by the subversive element that controls it today. Lowell, you go right ahead.
Now, when you say individualism, Dr. Stan, you, of course, mean the two-sided coin, the top half of which is liberty, the bottom half of which is responsibility. That is, in order to be a free person, you have to take responsibility for your own life. Alas, in the United States today, we have only 86 million full-time private sector employees left. That's the lowest proportion of our population since Jimmy Carter's era. But we have 148 million every month who receive some kind of government benefit. So that includes Social Security. But even if you strip that away, there are still 108.5 million Americans who every month get means-tested welfare, as opposed to only 86 million who are still doing the work to pay the taxes, to pull the wagon that everyone else wants to ride in for free. So the challenge is to undo that dependency, that addiction to government, and that willingness simply to let others take all the responsibility in the world. In the Atlantic Monthly this week, there was a fascinating article. It says, the military wants to teach this was 2 weeks ago. The military wants to teach robots right from wrong. Not right from left, but right from wrong. In other words, our computers and our computer-driven robots are now sophisticated enough that they can actually be programmed to have values or something like them. And I read that and I found myself asking, who in our political establishment today, or for that matter, running our Veterans Administration today, has enough morality to teach the robot?
And basically, of course, what would be the basis of right and wrong? You can actually say that, as for the Nazi, killing Jews was perfectly all right. Who is going to establish the moral standards that we're going to indoctrinate into our robots that is going to be running our world that we live in? Go right ahead.
Well, the standard of progressive values. Remember, under progressivism, eugenics is entirely okay. Under Hitler, eugenics meant killing off those races you deemed inferior and harmful to the human species as a collective. Because, after all, remember, under progressive ideas, the individual means nothing. All that matters is the collective. Maybe this is why Barack Obama, when he became president, appointed as his first chief science czar a man who had co-authored a book advocating the addition of chemical sterilants to the world's food and water supplies, with only government holding the antidote. In other words, if you wanted to have a baby, you would have to go to the government or to a bureaucrat or to a politician on your knees and beg for enough antidote that you would momentarily be able to conceive and then bear a child. And without that, I mean, imagine how Hitler would have loved that technology that the Obama administration has implicitly advocated. All you would have to do is say, oh, well, no Jews need apply for the sterilant antidote. And therefore, all Jews remain sterile, and therefore, in one generation, even without death camps, there are no more Jews because they can no longer reproduce. This is the kind of politics that progressives, whether they're like Michael Bloomberg, or whether they are as arrogant as Barack Obama, apparently seem perfectly willing to impose on the rest of us, which is why he feels entirely free to go around the Constitution, because the Constitution was written by people 200 years ago who were trying to constrain government, to keep government small. And, of course, progressives do not want government to be small. Progressives view government as God. They want government to be infinite. They want government to be all-powerful, and they want government to supplant, therefore, to absorb, take away whatever individual power you or I might have, whether it be from saving money or from our persuasiveness or anything else. Those who disagree with the big government philosophy of Barack Obama are to be silenced, they are to be intimidated, they are to be threatened by the IRS and other government agencies until they shut up, whatever money they have that would grant them some measure of independence is to be taken away from them. That's a lot of the purpose of this policy we now see where they're trying to carry out all 10 of the things that Karl Marx advocated in the Communist Manifesto as ways to destroy capitalism. Two of them, obviously, one is simply to massively empower government on all kinds of levels. But the other, and this is the theme of our new book coming out this summer, Don't Bank on It, Marx said one of the 10 things essential for government to destroy capitalism is for government to take control of all banking and credit in the society. And that's what's being done now, systematically. In fact, just today, new news stories indicate that the government has two agencies, the Federal Housing Finance Agency and, most important, this bizarre new bureaucracy that is not even funded by the Congress, but is funded directly by the Federal Reserve, called the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. It has just, people have just noticed that in the April 16th Federal Register, these two agencies notified people that they are now creating a huge new database on all citizens that will record even the tiniest financial details of your life and will lay them all bare and will therefore position the government to know exactly who has money, who has savings, who has what accounts where. And this will all dovetail with what is now coming up on the 1st of July, which is FATCA, which is the Foreign Account Tax Compliance Act, the essence of which is to say, well, people need to understand, if you were a citizen of Great Britain or almost any other major country on earth, what you earned in Great Britain would be taxable, but what you earned in another country outside Great Britain would not be. But the United States has this bizarre tax law for a supposedly free country that says U.S. citizens can be taxed on their income, whether they earn it in the U.S. or Australia or Tasmania. I mean, anywhere on earth you earn income, you owe tax on that income to Washington, D.C. And this is, FATCA is aimed at forcing compliance with that law. Up until now.
Basically, does this actually begin the 1st of July? What are they going to be doing?
FATCA will take effect, in essence, the 1st of July.
And what is this law going to include? What is it? How is it going to impact on the people listening to the program?
Through a whole series of treaties, it is going to force foreign banks and foreign nations to disclose to our government any American bank account, any American transaction outside the U.S. In effect, it takes what had been national surveillance of your economic life and turns it into world surveillance of your economic life. All as part of the glorious New World Order that only days ago, by the way, not only did our Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel applaud during a speech in Poland, but now, in a speech at West Point, not unlike the president, but on a different day, Vice President Joe Biden also re-evoked the term New World Order, just as the Bush family had done.
Well, no, but basically, Lowell, one of the things is, basically, we can pass all these legislations, but how will we force other countries throughout the world and other banks throughout the world to go along with our edicts? After all, we don't control the banks in Switzerland. We don't control the banks in Luxembourg or in Denmark. How can we force other private banks to go along with the dictates of us and of our system?
We have just imposed a $5 billion fine on one of the largest Swiss banks. Any bank that has a branch here, any bank in the world that hopes to do any kind of business in or with the United States government or in our society, we have the ability to suspend our regulations. In many cases, the U.S. government has signed treaties now with their own home government that will require such cooperation. Now, there are tax havens where this will still be difficult, granted. But for major nations, for example, it used to be traditional. The Swiss banks, for goodness sake, were the safest in the world in the sense that if you put a deposit in a Swiss bank, they would not divulge that to anyone outside Switzerland. Well, now they will. Now they have all been beaten into submission by the U.S. government in the arm of their own Swiss government. And so henceforth, accounts in a Swiss bank will no longer be confidential. The Swiss banks will turn over every detail of your financial transactions to the U.S. government. And many of these countries, especially in Western Europe, are themselves welfare states, meaning that, like the U.S. government, they hate tax havens. They do not want their own nationals to be able to go to a country like the U.S. and hide what they're earning. And so the U.S. has agreed to a mutual exchange of information with what people have in our banks versus what people have in another country's banks. So it's a way of gradually herding all of us like animals who are to be sheared.
Well, I would think that down the line, somewhere, sooner or later, there's going to be opposition to this sort of thing. I believe, of course, certainly you cannot run roughshod over other countries, over other nations. And I really tremble when I reflect that I believe God is going to bring judgment in one way or another on America. We're going to be back in just a moment here with Lowell Bonney. We're moving into difficult times, ladies and gentlemen.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food, and processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy Aging Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Lowell Potty, and we're simply reminiscing over the tax system here in the United States. But unfortunately, we have more people now, or almost as many people, are receiving government benefits as they're working, and suddenly we're going further and further behind. As some people say, we're going behind $1 trillion a year. Some people say we're going behind $several trillion a year. But how long can you keep spending money that you don't have? And you can't do it indefinitely, because sooner or later, an incident will come and the whole house of cards will come tumbling down. Go right ahead, Lowell.
Oh, on May 19th, our Secretary of State, John Kerry, was giving a commencement speech at Boston University. And he told the graduates there, so what if we decide to spend money to prevent global warming? I mean, what's the worst that could happen, said Kerry. We would put millions of people to work transitioning our energy, creating new and renewable alternatives. We would make life healthier because we have less particulates in the air, and cleaner air, and more health. We give ourselves greater security through greater energy independence. That's the downside of spending on global climate change.
And, of course, the conjecture was, maybe it isn't true, but look at all the advantages. That was the incredible part of that statement.
Oh, yes. And what he did not mention, however, is that when people talk about spending to prevent global climate change, you know what amount we're talking about? We're talking about $100 trillion. That's how much it would take to make even the tiniest dent in world temperatures. $100 trillion, that would be equivalent to imposing, if it were collected in taxes here, $317,000 on every American, 1.27 million on every American family of four. Now, as you were saying, how much more can we bear when the American people are already, in many cases, on the verge of slavery from the tax burden they are carrying now? By the way, another amusing thing I noticed from Forbes magazine a few days ago, in fact, on the 22nd of May, an argument that the Obama administration is now talking once again about collecting taxes not through IRS agents, bad though that would be given how politicized the IRS has become, but actually hiring private contractors to collect taxes from you and me. You know, when they decided to pick, what did they call them, navigators to educate people about Obamacare, you know, you would have this private person paid $45 an hour by the government who would be able to help you decide what your Obamacare policy should be and what you needed and what you didn't need. And in the process, of course, you would divulge to him all kinds of confidential information, including your Social Security number. You remember where Obama was getting those navigators for Obamacare? They were mainly former agents of ACORN, the extreme radical left-wing organization Obama worked for before he got into politics. In other words, if we're going to have ACORN people given access to your private information, could it be that when he says he wants private contractors heavily paid in order to collect your taxes and thereby know all kinds of secret information about you financially, is he going to recruit them, too, from ACORN agents to be paid $45 or more an hour? I don't know if you're a fan of this, Dr. Stan, but 2,000 years ago, you know how the Romans collected taxes in places like Palestine? They did what was called tax farming. And that's what Obama is, in a sense, proposing today. Only the way the Romans did it was they would say to rich combines, consortia of the wealthy, They would say, well, here's this region. Here are the boundaries to it. What am I bid for the right to collect taxes in that region? And wealthy people would bid for the right to be the tax collector there. And Rome would usually pick the highest bidder and say to them, all right, you pay us the money that you bid right now, and we will give you the Roman political authority to squeeze taxes out of people. And if you can squeeze 10 times more taxes than you paid us, that's fine. We don't care. We got the taxes we need from that region, thanks to you paying us. So you go squeeze the people there. That's what it meant when Jesus dealt with Matthew, a tax collector.
Well, I think that the taxes have been a problem going back thousands of years. There's nothing new about this, certainly. There was excessive taxation in ancient Greece, excessive taxation in ancient Rome. And I think, of course, that this is certainly going to have disastrous effects in the coming world that we live in. The only thing is that I really fear that we are so have such massive debt that there's no way that the taxes continue. They're either going to have to massively increase taxes or the whole system is going to collapse. I fear it's going to collapse. It's not a matter of if, but when.
Their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Garlic, there's no medicine, natural or pharmaceutical, that can top it. Whether it's your arteries, your immune system, your heart, or your brain, garlic protects in incomparable ways. And garlic not only boosts your immune system, but directly attacks all incoming bacteria, viruses, and fungi. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Most researchers use allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, which common garlic pills don't produce because acid in the stomach destroys the enzymatic production process. Garlazyme is the exception. Its patented alkaline mineral base protects the enzyme that activates allicin in the acidic stomach. And garlazyme also buffers garlic's pungency, odor, and breath. It's sociable garlic. Buy garlazyme in quantity for less than $9 a month, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955 to order garlazyme now. Garlazyme, it's the goodness of Mother Nature for civilized society. 866-674-3955.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food, and processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
This is Dr. Stan, our guest is Lowell Ponte, and Lowell certainly has been talking about the project that he and his friend certainly have been involved in, of writing letters, pardon me, writing books to try to let people understand what's going on. Now, Lowell, I didn't want to interrupt you, but basically now we have all of our stations, probably 14 or 15 stations, back on board with us. So once again, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get to your website, how they can get in touch with you, or and how they can get copies of the book that you have written, and how they can get it sent to you, sent to them without charge. Well, would you mind repeating what you said? Because I want all of our listeners to hear that.
Oh, sure. I don't want to bore anyone with this. If you want to get in touch with me directly, my email is radiowright, R-A-D-I-O-R-I-G-H-T, at AOL.com. The book that we're giving away tonight is The Great Withdrawal, How the Progressives' 100-Year Debasement of America and the Dollar End. We'll pay for the $20 book. It's a 250-page book. We'll pay for the postage. It will not cost you anything in shipping or handling. We'll even pay for the toll-free phone call to get it, which is 800-630-1494. And when you leave your name and number...
Give that address one more time.
Oh, sure. I just want to remind people they can also get our white paper, Don't Bank On It, absolutely free and postpaid, too. 800-630-1494 is the number. Or as I like to say, think of Columbus sailing the ocean blue in 1492, but not quite. It's 800-630-1494.
And I have read the book. I have read the white paper. I recommend them both to you. Very valid information. Get this and then circulate it and encourage others to get it. The price is right. But more than that, the information could well help you survive what lies ahead, which I believe is going to be the devastating destruction of the monetary infrastructure of this nation and perhaps the political infrastructure as well. Go right ahead, Lowell.
Well, I only hope that the newly approved driverless cars in California will be able to drive more effectively than our society without morals is able to drive. I noticed, for example, last Sunday, the Omaha World Herald had a large study saying that even though our veterans may have a hard time getting medical care, health care in this society, you know who doesn't? People in our prisons. People in the prisons in and around Omaha, Nebraska, get wonderful health care benefits, get exotic surgeries and knee replacements, all kinds of things that they might want at zero cost. And their medical care is provided in a timely, immediate fashion. Not people being told they're on a waiting list for month after month after month at the Veterans Administration. So, do we have someone prepared to teach morals to these robots? By the way, people should pay attention. We already know the implication of raising the minimum wage to the point where a company like McDonald's will prefer to hire more robotized hamburger serving capability rather than hire people to actually do jobs. But think of the people who drive trucks in America. You know, there are 5.7 million truckers in this country. Some Teamsters, some not. But driverless cars are laying the basis for replacing all of them. You will soon see 18-wheel trucks on this country with no human driver behind the wheel at all, barreling along at 75 or 80 miles an hour, all by satellite, by robot control. And another 5.7 million people will be encouraged to go to the welfare state and accept its benefits, because they, too, will have lost their jobs to robots. I wonder if robots are taught about the right and wrong of doing that. But this is what our society now is looking forward to. Meanwhile, we continue to be herded like so many cattle here. They have tried to herd people out of their bank accounts. They do this by a mechanism called financial repression, where the government and the Federal Reserve deliberately hold the rate of inflation higher than the rate that people are allowed to be paid on their bank accounts. And so if you're earning 0.1% interest, but the inflation is eating up your savings value, by how much? Well, let's see. Food has increased by more than 19% in the last 12 months. And yet the government tells us there's officially no inflation in America. So your bank account is being devoured by inflation, even as you're getting 0.1% interest on that account. And the cost you're paying for that, too, is you're facing these 19 horrifying risks that we talk about and Don't Bank On It, which will be out as a book, by the way, later in the summer. So those are the adventures that we engage in. You mentioned my writing partner, Craig R. Smith, by the way. He is a monetary expert. He appears almost every week with Neil Cavuto, either on Fox Business or Fox News Network. So you have probably seen Craig Smith. my beloved co-author on these things. He's a highly credible, authoritative business expert, and I am a scribe. I am an investigative journalist who loves digging into these things, and I'm a former think tank futurist. So you spend many years trying to look into the crystal ball and see what is emerging from the signs around us. And right now, as you've indicated, the signs are quite ominous on one hand. But on the other, the progressives who have ruled us for the past 100 years seem incredibly frightened. They're frightened because they know that they're losing popular support. They're frightened because we just had elections in Europe in which a quarter of the people in Europe voted against the ruling consolidation going on there. In fact, in places like England, the UKIP, United Kingdom Independence Party, which is a bit like the Tea Party here in some ways, they got more votes than the ruling Conservatives, more votes than the Socialist Labour Party, more votes than any other single party.
Now, of course, this was for the European Union, but that's basically what they're saying is they don't like the European Union the way it is. And this was really an overwhelming victory for the British component there. The delegates elected to the European Union don't like the European Union.
Because what it's saying is they want to be English, for example. A similar party in France also got more than a quarter of the vote. In France, against the ruling socialists and the conservatives, besting both of those parties. And so the message is, we don't want to be sucked further into a collective power. We don't want a new world order. We don't want a single European government devouring our Frenchness or our Englishness. We want to be, as our ancestors were, leave us alone. That's what they're saying.
And I concur with you, and I think people have to understand that the lead article in the latest Newsweek magazine, Proofs of a Conspiracy. Now, Newsweek suddenly has come out and says, hey, it's just terrible that all these people out there believe there's a conspiracy here in America. And they talk about a poll where one-third of all the people that they polled, and these were certainly very well-informed individuals, not the average run-of-the-mill, one-third of the people believe there is a conspiracy. They don't understand what it is, but they know it wants to do away with the sovereignty. I think the people on the other side are suddenly getting concerned, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. And you have to understand, it is not irrational to be concerned about the fact that your government is lying to you methodically and systematically. I mean, the government is holding this utterly phony position that, prices are not going up, that there is no inflation. They're only allowing, a 1.5% increase in the cost of living for people on Social Security. People on fixed income are very susceptible to having the value of the dollar plummet on them. And yet, as I said, food prices have measurably gone up 19% in the last 12 months. I mean, look at the meat counter in your own supermarket. Do you recognize those prices? Well, the government is still telling you nothing's gone wrong. The prices haven't gone up. The price at the gas pump hasn't gone up. That's what it means when they say there's no inflation. They're telling you right now that nobody is unemployed, that the unemployment rate is down around 6%, virtually full employment. We can stop worrying about that. And yet, one out of every five working-age Americans has no job. We have the highest job participation rate, as it's called, since Jimmy Carter's era. But they play these strange games. You know, the game is if you work one day a month, you're employed. But if you cease looking for work altogether because you can't find a job, within 4 weeks, you're no longer counted as unemployed. You simply don't exist anymore. You vanish from their statistics. And so the measures that the government is putting out on almost every standard of how the economy is doing is now simply a lie. And everybody knows it's a lie in economics. That's what's so peculiar. But you see, the government has to be able to hold the interest rates near zero. If these other things were going wrong, then they'd have to raise the interest rates. But the government has borrowed so much money that if the interest rates go up 1%, the government will have to pay out another $1 trillion just in interest this year. So they have to maintain the illusion. And the funny thing is, everybody in economics knows this. We're not talking about wild-eyed conspiracy theory here. Everybody knows that the government is lying to them all the time, which is why the trust in government, whether it be Congress or the president, is at these phenomenally low numbers now. Because we all know nothing he says can be trusted, nothing the politicians say can be trusted. And the only question is, what is the truth? And that's why Craig and I are writing this series of books, our fifth of which will be out this summer, called Don't Bank on It, talking about what they've done to your banking system. Basically, the banks have, at a certain level, been nationalized. The banks have been turned into public utilities. And once again, the Obama administration is pushing, as Bill Clinton did, as Jimmy Carter did, pushing on the banks to begin making loans, home loans, to people who have no credit. In fact, think about this. We've taught young people to go to college and take out college loans. The average college loan burden they've taken on is more than $25,000. But when those kids get out of college, only about half of them, 54%, can find a job commensurate with the degree they just paid all that money and took on all that debt for. So here we have a lot of young people who have had to take hamburger flipper jobs. They have $25,000 or more in debt. They have no credit. They have no credit that would allow them to buy a house or a new car because they don't have a full-time, reliable, good-paying job. And so we have half the young population in this country who are in an economic morass. And that is not going to get better because all the government can do is borrow more money and buy more votes by making people dependent on government. I mean, we're in a downward spiral, or what some call a death spiral, economically. And it's going to take quite a bit to pull us out of that. In fact, what happened in the Bible over and over again, the Hebrew people had to crash. They went against God's laws and God's standards, and they crashed. And they then had to come back over and over again.
And I really believe that we should learn from what happened in the Bible. And basically, of course, I believe that God is going to bring his judgment on America. We've turned against God, and there is no instance in all history where a nation has turned against God, where God has not brought judgment and punishment to that nation. Go right ahead, Lowell, because I think your point are so well made.
Well, what happened only days ago at Harvard University, until protests stopped it, our greatest university, so-called, was on the verge of conducting a black mass, a mass honoring Satan and mocking the Christian mass, on the Harvard campus as part of a learning exercise for the students. And this mass was going to be conducted by real, authentic Satanists. This was not just a hypothetical black mass. So this is where our values have gone. As I started to say half an hour ago, it's interesting that the progressives who do so much to run our society and our media, they don't believe in God. In fact, they ridicule God. And so they think they are scientific and superior to superstition. And yet, what do they believe in? Well, one thing they believe in is Santa Claus. So there's no Jesus, but there is a Santa Claus. There is a government that has a bottomless bag of free goodies that can just keep giving away forever. And they believe there will always be someone there to pay for those goodies and to make them. And at a certain point, when you have made taxes heavy enough and regulation heavy enough on the producers, you are going to see something like what Ayn Rand envisioned in her book Atlas Shrugged. The producers are just going to go on strike themselves. And they're going to say, I would rather ride in the wagon than have to work my life away and get nothing for it after taxes in order to pull the wagon. Why should I? In fact, it's interesting. This was about to happen en masse with Obamacare. And what the Obama administration just did days ago This is the headline of Robert Payer in the New York Times. IRS bars employers from dumping workers into health exchanges. The employers had been led to believe if they just went along with Obamacare, at a certain point, if they were required to pay for Obamacare for their employees, they would just be able to turn and say, well, we're not providing employer health care anymore. We'll let the government do it, as they have done in other ways in the society. Well, guess what? The IRS has just told them they will not be allowed to do that. If you have been providing health insurance to your employee, you're going to be required to continue doing that. Now, people will cheer and they will say it's about time those dirty capitalists got their comeuppance. They should be made to do that. Well, boys and girls, that's what they do in Europe. And in Europe, they have perpetual, chronic, double-digit unemployment. Because in places like France, if you're going to hire someone, you virtually are adopting them for life. You will have to take care of them for the rest of their lives. And so very few people get hired. The employers just say, I would rather hire a robot. I'd rather have a robot drive my driverless truck than to hire a human being to do so and then have to care for that person for the rest of my life, whether my company is doing well or ill.
And I really think that what Chris Lowell is saying is absolutely true. I think you're going to see a cutback in employment. In fact, if you have less than 50 employees, you don't come under these regulations. And I think more and more people are either going to do one of two things, or either going to cut back to less than 50 employees, or they're going to start producing overseas. And this, of course, is the biggest thing. More and more American industries are moving overseas. Why? Because they can't afford a Obamacare. They just can't afford it. Well, Flo, we're out of time. As always, certainly it's a pleasure to have you with us. I hope you get to finish your book so we can get you on with us again in the 1st of July, because I really look forward to your commentaries. But under any circumstances, God bless you. Thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
God bless.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Have you noticed that America is changing? Our nation is changing because public education is systematically destroying our faith in God and country. They have succeeded. What can you do? If you love your children, take them out of public school and consider homeschooling. The Robinson Homeschool Program is a 12-year curriculum devised by a Christian educator. The classes are presented on CDs and dozens of books are included. Thousands of youngsters have taken the course and successfully gone on to college. The modest price is only $195. If you'd like to obtain some additional information, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. So if you love your children and want them to succeed, call 800-544-8927 and ask about the Robinson Homeschool Program.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for prostate support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. How do we make any sense out of what's going on today? How do we make any sense out of the fact that suddenly we're borrowing over $1 trillion a year? Suddenly our real national debt is not 17.5 trillion. It's closer to 85 to 90 trillion dollars. There's no way it's ever going to be paid off. Our leaders know this. And they keep doing exactly what they're doing. How do you make any sense out of what's going on today? And you only make sense out of it unless you understand that behind everything going on today are powerful spirits or forces. If you have not read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which will introduce you to the supernatural, and there really is a supernatural component to everything going on, the Bible and certainly is relevant. Either the Bible is irrelevant and it's just a nice book with a lot of good philosophy in it, or it has a great deal to do with what's going on today. I happen to just select the latter part because I really believe the Bible is accurate. And basically, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, will give you an overview of what's going on. We carry certainly James Perloff's excellent book, Truth is a Lonely Warrior. So basically, Brotherhood of Darkness and Truth is a Lonely Warrior, two vitally important books. And then to understand what's going on, if you like DVDs, why you'll love certainly the DVDs and Pastor Billy Crone. And Pastor Billy Crone's a frequent guest on our programs, but he has put together a series of actually 9 DVDs, each one with 4 or 5 or 6 DVDs in it. That will point out the fact that what is taking place today was prophesied thousands of years ago, and there's so many things that are happening today that were actually prophesied. They told us about the cashless society. They told us the time would come when we wouldn't be able to buy or sell unless we were the mark of the beast or known by the number of his name. Certainly you'll want to get these DVD sets. They're not that expensive. And you'll want to watch them several times. Excellent footage. It's all about a one-world government, a one-world financial system, and the destruction of Christianity, which is why they've taken God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools, why most of our young people, when they leave high school today, well, first of all, most of them can't read and write very effectively, but even more than that, of course, most of them disbelieve in God. And the purpose of education is not to educate, it's to destroy their belief in God. And until you understand we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men, very little taking place today makes any sense. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, and you can call, or suddenly call and order a final countdown. You can order my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, James Perloff, The Truth is a Lonely Warrior, and so many other items. If you'd like a catalog, we'll be glad to send you one free of charge. Just call and ask for it. Suddenly you can go to our website, radioliberty.com. RadioLiberty.com, and of course, when you go to RadioLiberty.com, you'll see the list of all of the various items we carry. And if you need Berkey water filters, if you need health products, we have an excellent line of very important health products, which will really protect you and your health, certainly from the what is taking place today, which is designed to do more, far more harm to your body. And this is the reason why cancer is exploding. It's not happening by accident. And then because you need to get into water fluoridation, they don't allow water fluoridation in Europe, but they're poisoning our children here and knocking down their IQ. And we can get into aspartame and so many different items. But go to our webpage, radioliberty.com, radioliberty.com, where you can watch our DVDs. Otherwise, you can certainly listen to our radio programs live 4 hours a day, archived 24 hours a day. You can read our newsletters. Look at all the various links that we have there. Your job is to get the information and then start talking to other people. Make it a point to talk to 5 people every single day.
5 people every single day and tell them about what's going on. Encourage them to go to our website, listen to our programs, and to tell others. Because if we lose America, we lose it all. Please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision, and our protection.
Let us swear allegiance. For a land so fair, as we raise our voices in a...
It's okay now, see?
You got up.
Beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grace.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming in from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and hopefully, they're going to be the views of William Grigg for this next hour. And for those of you who don't know William, William was for many years the senior editor of the New American Magazine. He's worked for Republic Magazine. He's a prolific writer. We're very pleased to have him write my monthly newsletter. William, what are we going to be talking about tonight?
Dr. Stan, it's always a pleasure to be with you. And I'm afraid that this evening we're going to have to talk about a case in Georgia that so perfectly exemplifies everything that has gone wrong with militarized law enforcement in this country, that it actually might be the case that will trigger public revulsion of sufficient magnitude to change things. A few nights ago.
Well, William, are you on a regular hardline telephone?
I am. No, forgive me. I'm on a cordless telephone that's connected to a radio transmitter box.
All right, we don't have, this is the best we can get. Okay, in other words.
My end, anyway.
Okay, fine, go ahead.
Well, a few nights ago, in Habersham County, Georgia, there was a SWAT raid that took place at 3 in the morning that targeted a home that was supposedly being used for the purpose of drug trafficking. A few hours earlier, a confidential informant had led the police to this home, and the police made a controlled buy of narcotics. What sort, description we've not been told. And the confidential informant, who will almost certainly is a petty criminal who is given financial consideration, most likely some form of leniency in exchange for finding other people to turn into the police, claimed that there were no children inside the residence. And so at 3 in the morning, the SWAT team shows up, and the first thing that happens is that they pound on the door, and one of the raiders throws a flashbang grenade into the living area. And the living area was inhabited by a young infant, a 19-month-old infant in a cradle. And the flashbang grenade detonated, as objects of that sort generally do. And the blast tore the skin off of the bottom part of the infant's face and open up a large wound on his chest. So this infant had to be rushed to the hospital. Bear in mind, this is once again between 3 and 4 in the morning, and put into a medically induced coma. As I understand it, the individual who was being sought by law enforcement wasn't at the address. They eventually arrested a man, I think a 30-year-old man, on drug-related charges. But the infant didn't live at the address, nor did the parents. They had come to Georgia from Wisconsin, if I remember correctly. Their home had just burned up, and they were seeking refuge with relatives in Habersham County, Georgia.
Well, now, basically, were the parents in any way involved
not
in the
all.
Sale of illicit drugs?
They didn't live there. They were not involved in any kind of illegal activity. They're economically marginal. I guess there are people, their extended family, who may have somewhat dubious connections.
Well, no, but Babe, I thought you said there had been some illegal drug purchases. What was that about?
I'm sorry?
I thought you said there had been an illegal drug purchase.
Yeah, but they didn't have anything to do with it.
Okay, fine.
The whole problem here is that the family had shown up from their home once it had been burned down. They didn't know what was going on in this address in a different city. That was occupied by relatives.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here with William Greig.
While the storm clouds gather all across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer.
Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's William Greig. And William, of course, the logical question is, why didn't the SWAT team just knock at the door? Why would they throw in an explosive grenade? Why would they simply not just surround the house and try to take this down without a confrontation? And then who's going to be responsible for the terrible disfigurement of this child?
Well, the big is the latter question first. What's going to happen is that
directly attacks
the
all
sheriff, Joy Carroll, in Habersham County, is almost certainly going to make claim of qualified immunity and claim that the people who acted on behalf of this task force, the multi-jurisdictional state, federal, county task force, were carrying out a raid according to established policies and procedures, and under state and federal law, they cannot be held civilly or criminally liable for what happened.
Odor and breath.
So they're not
it's sociable garlic.
Except
my garlic lime in quantity for less than
yes,
$9.
Yes, but can they get away with that if it gets into the courts and won't the courts hold them responsible?
There's going to be some kind of a civil government. I don't doubt for a second.
Garlic lime is the goodness of Mother Nature for civilized society. 866-674-3955.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High protein, high energy, freeze dried foods, known as long range patrol rations or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran owned Freeze Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment with William Greig. By our city law enforcement is never justified.
Any reasons why the war on drugs is such a futile exercise is the ephemeral nature of the evidence. You're dealing with things that can be consumed. You're dealing with things that can be flushed and disposed of. You're not dealing with, for instance, large amounts of material, large amounts of cash necessarily. Sometimes that's involved. But you're not dealing with large stolen items, or you're not dealing with an actual offense against persons or property. You're dealing with people who are selling something the government doesn't approve of, at least right now. 105, 110 years ago, there were no laws against narcotics in this country at the national level. There were local laws against certain kinds of narcotics. It was understood back then when this country was relatively pious and morally sound that it was a stupid idea to try to act as if the government has the moral authority to tell you you can't consume something. That was something that your preacher should do. That's something that your priest, your minister, your rabbi should do. Parents should be teaching that to the children that God has given him, that you should make responsible use of the singular blessing of a physical body, and you shouldn't be destroying it with harmful substances, of which, of course, the most commonly misused is alcohol. And we had the decades-long build-up to the 13-year experiment, this exercise in social lunacy called alcohol prohibition. And we eventually changed that as a country. We abandoned alcohol prohibition because it obviously didn't work. It created huge externalities that were destroying the same people who were supposedly benefit from government-enforced prohibition. You were creating a huge underground network of crime that was corrupting the judicial system and law enforcement. It was enriching the worst elements of our society. It was destroying the Bill of Rights even then. And among other things, the government got involved in an effort to create sort of an aversive public reaction against alcohol by leaching toxins into industrial alcohols that were being diverted for the purpose of creating bootleg liquor. That's something that was deliberately done by the United States government. They poisoned alcohol knowing that it would cause blindness or insanity on the assumption that in doing so, they would have a certain number of exemplary cases of tragic death, disfigurement, or derangement that would create a diversive reaction on the part of the public. That's something the government actually did in the name, supposedly, of public health and safety. So drug prohibition is the legitimate heir, that is to say, it's the misconceived heir to alcohol prohibition. The biggest difference is they never changed the Constitution to permit the federal government to get involved in drug prohibition. They did that for alcohol prohibition. It's one of the stupidest things done in the history of public policy in American history. Of course, that's a very large and expanding list. But in order to bring about alcohol prohibition, it was necessary to change the Constitution because the Constitution didn't give that authority to the federal government. The Constitution was amended a few years later, but then after one intervening amendment, the Constitution was amended right back in order to repeal alcohol prohibition. Nothing similar happened with drug prohibition. The drug prohibition that we're dealing with here is literally a war on the American public. And the rhetoric of this, I think he might be deranged sheriff in Habersham County, Georgia, Joy Terrell, is redolent of the idea that he and his troops are fighting a war against the public. He referred to the people at this house as domestic terrorists, the people who are allegedly involved in drug trafficking. And just by way of sort of spoiling part of the story here, it should be recognized that Sheriff Terrell has employed among his narcotics investigators people who had drug convictions in their records and people who on their private time when they were not carrying out their callings as police officers were involved in the misuse of both illicit drugs and alcohol. And that's something that's very commonplace as well. That's something that happened during the year of alcohol prohibition. Many of the people who were involved in enforcing alcohol prohibition were secretly violating the laws that they were enforcing. That's a rampant problem here. But the whole idea of the paramilitary raid, the no-knock raid, is that you have to get these people by surprise so they don't flush the evidence away. And once the evidence is found, of course, then they can begin the process of forfeiting the confiscated contraband, any money they can find, any property that might be connected to drug use or drug trafficking. That would include real property as well as personal property. And all these things are subject to civil forfeiture rather than criminal forfeiture, which means that the police, with the help of the feds, can keep up to 90% of the value or the aggregate cash amount that they collect through drug raids. That's one of the things driving this policy, is something that looks and smells an awful lot like simple piracy. They can confiscate all these things as proceeds, and they never have to prove that anybody committed a crime. They never have to go to court and get a criminal conviction because it's civil forfeiture. Criminal forfeiture, of course, is part of the legitimate process of the justice system. If you're convicted of a crime, you can't keep the proceeds that you've illicitly obtained, and they should be forfeited from you, and ideally they should be made the subject of restitution. If you've stolen from somebody, the person from whom you've stolen the property should get the property back. robbery or embezzlement. If you've injured somebody's property, then you should be compelled in the name of restitution to compensate the person either by providing him with a replacement for his property or giving him property of your own in equivalent value. But that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about the process of restitution here. We're talking about something that really is illicit, it's extrajudicial, it's completely extra-constitutional, the idea that they can simply confiscate your cash, your car, your home, anything they can find, and then file a lawsuit against the property called in rem, that's Latin for against the thing. They file a lawsuit against the property, and then if you cannot prove that the property is innocent of involvement in a crime, then they get to keep it. There was a video that emerged about 5 or 6 months ago, if memory serves, of the state trooper in Nevada who literally went through this entire litany with a student. He had stopped, conducted a traffic stop, and found that the student was in possession of several tens of thousands of dollars of cash because he was moving, and he was carrying cash with him. And the trooper actually said, no, I'm going to keep the money. No matter what happens, I'm going to keep the money. That's what I get to do. And I've heard similar things said by state troopers here in the state of Idaho who are carrying out the same kind of interdiction operations as part of narcotics task force. It really is foul and unconscionable. But the thing is, people might be able to countenance
them. Well, no, wait a minute, William. Suddenly this police officer wanted to keep the money. Did the student actually file a charge of crime?
Yes. Yeah,
and I hope that, of course, they sent that officer to prison because that's where he deserves.
Yeah, well, he's not headed to prison. I think he might have been placed on suspension. I'll have to follow up on that story. But he was saying, I get to keep the money, meaning the agency he works for gets to keep the money. He wasn't saying that he was personally going to take possession of it, but in the event that he did, if you don't have a video record, an audio record of him actually saying so, who's going to be the wiser? What's happened in many of these asset forfeiture cases, there was a really disgusting episode of this in Dallas County, D-A-L-L-E-S County, Iowa, back in the middle part of the last decade, where you had a sheriff and his cronies who were enforcing drug policies through interdiction along a stretch of I-80 that runs right through the middle of their county. They would stop anybody who was driving a late model SUV. And once they made a traffic stop, they would search to see if there were cash or jewels or anything of value. And then Sheriff Brian Gilbert, that was the sheriff involved in this, and his cronies, would confiscate this in the name of asset forfeiture and then keep it off the books and simply help themselves to it. There was another racket of this sort in Tanaha, Texas, where you had the same thing happening. People often would be forced to surrender their cars and their cash after, if they were traveling with children, their children would be seized by the state and the police would threaten to take them to CPS if they didn't sign away their rights to their cash and their car. It's a very commonplace thing in this country and it's completely disgusting.
Well, hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with our special guest, William Grigg.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food. And processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging, Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now, 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Certainly William is simply pointing out that what happened in Georgia was it was a tragedy. Probably the people who were involved, the leader of the team, certainly the fellow who threw the grenade, most of them went church. They didn't intend to damage a child. They didn't know the child was there. But the fact that they would use this approach certainly to try to stop the use of drugs, and to gamble certainly and take a chance and destroy the life of a child, and then, of course, have the sheriff try to minimize this. It was standard operating procedure. It may be standard operating procedure, but the standard operating procedure is wrong, and nobody wants to say it. Go right ahead, William.
And not only is the operating procedure wrong, the entire enterprise is misbegotten and morally unsupportable. And here's a pro tip. Here's a very useful clue for determining if what you're doing as a law enforcement officer is going to withstand moral scrutiny. And that clue is the following question. Does your job entail the practice or the possibility of kicking in a house door at 3 o'clock in the morning in order to conduct a paramilitary raid as part of an investigation into an alleged nonviolent offense? Dr. Stan, I honestly don't know if there is any other country on earth where after dark or pre-dawn raids of this sort are commonplace.
They were commonplace in communist China for years because they created terror, and this is what these raids that we're using are designed to do for the psychological impact on the people and of course on the criminal. But also, what about the innocent people who are swept up in this? This is the tragedy, and nobody wants to talk about the fact that we are adopting many of the techniques that were used by communist China. Go ahead.
You had the PSD in China, like you had the Cheka, the OGPU, the NKVD, the KGB, and now the FSB in Russia, and before that, Soviet Russia. You had them conducting midnight raids, the proverbial 3 o'clock knock on the door. But here's the biggest difference. They knocked on the door in Soviet Russia. There's something Solzhenitsyn talks about. And they didn't send in paramilitary squads. They didn't send in the Cessnas. And the thing is, in China right now, for the most part, they've reached sort of an equilibrium of tyranny there where they no longer need, as a matter of common policy and exercise, they no longer need to be carrying out these impressive conspicuous demonstrations of martial efficiency and police state ruthlessness because people have been conditioned in a certain way. And there are probably raids of this sort that take place in countries like Iran and Saudi Arabia, perhaps even in Cuba still. Venezuela, it wouldn't surprise me to see that this sort of thing had happened. But it doesn't happen with the regularity that it occurs here in the putative land of the free. There are, on average, about 100 SWAT raids a day in this country. And remember, the SWAT concept was sold back in the late 1960s by Daryl Gates, who created it, as a specialized unit within a conventional police department that would have a limited function. It would be specifically tailored to a narrow and very precise function, and that would deal with such things as entrenched gunmen, barricaded suspects, kidnappings, bank robberies, urban terrorism, that kind of thing. And he oversold the concept back in the 1960s. There was urban unrest. There were things that would be considered, I suppose, irregular warfare happening in some parts of the country. But it wasn't happening on such a scale that a SWAT type of concept would have been widely useful. The first use of the SWAT team dealt with it grew out of a confrontation in Compton, if I remember correctly, with a group from the Black Panther militia over a noise complaint. Somebody complained that they were playing their music too loud, and the police officer showed up and knocked on the door. And things got worse from there, and out of that acorn grew a huge oak tree, and by the end of that particular day, you had the SWAT team called out for the first time, and they went all the way to the White House to get approval to go to, I believe, Camp Pendleton and get a grenade launcher. They were going to get a rocket launcher. They were going to use that because they were outgunned by the Black Panther militia at this record store. But they had to go to the White House to get special permission to use this military weapon. Today, you have SWAT teams in practically every police department in this country. Here in Payette County, there's a SWAT team that's composed out of elements of the Payette Police Department. Payette's about 7,000 people. Ontario, Oregon, which is about 12,000 people. And Vail, Oregon, which is about 2,000 people. We have a SWAT team here. It's never really been useful for anything, but they find ways of keeping themselves busy. They get training from the Pentagon. They get the surplus gear from the Pentagon of any kind and any quantity they like practically for free through the LESO program. That includes military vehicles such as MRAPs that have been used in Iraq and Afghanistan. And they're being used because the principle behind Posse Comitatus is dead. We've seen the commingling of the military and law enforcement. That's not a good thing.
Well, certainly we're moving away from being a free society into actually being a police state. And it's about time people understood that if we don't get involved now speaking out against it, why that the time may pass when we'll be able to speak out.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today, 800-544-8927, 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
Garlic, there's no medicine, natural or pharmaceutical, that can top it. Whether it's your arteries, your immune system, your heart, or your brain, garlic protects in incomparable ways. And garlic not only boosts your immune system, but directly attacks all incoming bacteria, viruses, and fungi. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Most researchers use allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, which common garlic pills don't produce because acid in the stomach destroys the enzymatic production process. Garlazyme is the exception. Its patented alkaline mineral base protects the enzyme that activates allicin in the acidic stomach. And garlazyme also buffers garlic's pungency, odor, and breath. It's sociable garlic. Buy garlazyme in quantity for less than $9 a month, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955 to order garlazyme now. Garlazyme, it's the goodness of Mother Nature for civilized society. 866-674-3955.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food, and processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly William is talking about a previous episode in the same sheriff's jurisdiction some years previously, where a Christian minister was certainly killed by several of the undercover operators there who had suspected he was consorting with a prostitute. He really wasn't. The woman may very well have been a prostitute, but he was trying to bring her into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And when he was accosted by three people who did not identify themselves as police officers, three men, disreputable looking men with drawn guns. What actually happened, William?
What he did is he hit the gas and tried to leave because they were demanding that he do something that would leave him completely vulnerable. And he just, of course, gone to an ATM. For all he knew, he was being carjacked. And so he hit the gas. And when he hit the gas, one of them had gotten in the way, the path of his vehicle. And one of his fenders brushed up against the hem of this guy's pants. And so another officer, a fellow by the name of Harrison, fired several shots at the fleeing car, and he hit Pastor Ayers in the stomach and fatally wounded him. When he was taken to the hospital, he was asked what had happened. He said, "I think I was being robbed. I thought three guys in an SUV with drawn guns came out and tried to get me to stop, and I tried to get away. One of them shot me." So he never knew. He died without knowing they were police officers. The really important aspect of the story here is that he was not a criminal suspect. They wanted to question him, but they approached him with guns drawn. In other words, they took an immediate posture of aggressive hostility because of the mindset they have that they're part of a 360-degree battlefront. And as somebody who is a subject of one of their investigations, he should be approached as an enemy combatant.
Well, then what actually happened then as far as the officer who killed this Christian who is simply being a good Samaritan?
What happened is that Abigail Ayers, the widow of John Ayers, filed a lawsuit. And in the first phase of the lawsuit, the sheriff and the other elements of the task force and the officers involved, there were three of these officers. There was Officer Harrison and Officer Oxney were the two who were the primary culprits here. They invoked this principle of qualified immunity. In other words, because the police officers, they can't be held civilly or criminally liable when horrible things happen to innocent people. That's essentially what qualified immunity refers to. And in the first phase, they'd filed for the claim, which meant that the judge, the federal judge ruling on this motion, had to evaluate the evidence in light most favorable to the party that opposed that motion for qualified immunity. And he didn't grant qualified immunity, but he did discharge from liability Sheriff Terrell and another sheriff who was involved in supervising this task force. So Ayers' widow was able to file a lawsuit against Officer Harrison. And in the course of investigating what happened and putting together the lawsuit, it was learned that Harrison and Oxney both had a history of drug use and alcohol abuse. They both had criminal histories. I believe Oxney had been found guilty of theft from an employer before he became a police officer. Neither of them was qualified to be carrying out the duties of a peace officer. As a matter of fact, Harrison was not a certified peace officer at the time he fired the shot that killed Jonathan Ayers. He had not kept up with his training in firearms and use of force policy. So he was unqualified to be carrying a badge. He had no licensed authority as a peace officer to conduct an arrest, let alone use lethal force against a fleeing subject. This wasn't even a fleeing suspect. This was somebody who was a person of interest. They didn't have the right to take him into custody. They could have conducted a consensual investigation. Anything more than that would have required a search warrant based on probable cause. They had no probable cause. They had no probable cause or reasonable suspicion. They just wanted to talk to him about the person they were investigating. So Harrison ended up, earlier this year, in February of this year, the lawsuit was heard, and after about a two-week civil trial, in that rarest of things, a federal jury actually found in favor of the plaintiff here and granted the widow of Jonathan Ayers a $1.3 million settlement paid by the taxpayers of the county rather than by any of the principals. Now, until 2011, I think it was, Harrison was left on, actually, no, 2010, about a year afterwards. This happened in September of 2009. Over the course of the year or so that followed, Jonathan Ayers' widow, Abigail, and her attorney and their investigators were able to develop all this evidence about Harrison's misconduct, about his lack of certification, about the fact that he wasn't in a position legally to be carrying out the duties of a peace officer at the time of the killing. All this was made available to the press. Now, the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, that's the state equivalent of the FBI, and the DA's office there in the county had both quickly exonerated officers Harrison, Oxney, and the sheriff who appointed them to the task force, and that validated the shooting as justified. All this evidence about misconduct and lack of certification was available to them, but they didn't act on it. They probably didn't even take a look at it. Abigail Ayers and her attorney went to the press, went to the local TV station, their WFD TV, specifically, and provided them with this information, and they brought to public attention all these details about what had actually happened. And as a result of the media scrutiny, Harrison was fired. So he lost his job, and he ended up losing the civil case. I don't know where he is right now. But this is something that was done. The actions of Harrison and Oxney were things that were carried out by the same task force that was involved in this atrocity in Habersham County, Georgia, earlier this week, which the 19-month-old baby was burned. Sheriff Terrell was the person who appointed Oxney to that task force, and he's, I think, the senior member of the supervisory body for that task force. So this is on him, just as the burned infant who's convalescing in the hospital now as a result of that 3 a.m. door kick is on him as well. And the thing that I find really disturbing, Dr. Stan, is that stipulating that there may be decent people involved in the task force, the first instinct on the part of the sheriff was to deflect any responsibility at all for what had happened. Even if you assume that there's some merit in drug enforcement, and I do not, but let's stipulate to that for a second. Obviously, you don't go kicking in doors at 3 in the morning simply because you suspect that somebody was trafficking most likely in marijuana or even methamphetamine or a hard drug. You just don't do that because the risks that involves are extraordinary to people on both sides of that equation, on both sides of the door, on both sides of the gun side. That's one of the reasons why only in exceptional circumstances, by exceptional I mean the rarest of circumstances, are judges supposed to authorize search warrants that are executed or arrest warrants that are executed after sundown. There's a whole corpus of decisions in both federal and various state courts dealing with the Fourth Amendment issues that are implicated when somebody carries out a search or an arrest after the sun goes down precisely because it's so dangerous. And if there are genuinely exigent circumstances, if you have probable cause, a valid probable cause based on eyewitness testimony, physical evidence, confidence concession, something of that sort, there are immediate risks to the life of an innocent person or person. In such exigent circumstances, you don't need a warrant. You don't need a court order. For instance, you hear somebody screaming that he or she is about to be killed to intervene. I mean, no citizen needs a search warrant in order to intervene to protect the life of an innocent person. And that, of course, would include peace officers. But this is a case where they staged this raid on the basis of what's called the threat matrix. And the threat matrix, well, first of all, they staged the raid because this is the most effective way to do the real business, drug enforcement, which is confiscations and seizures. It's much easier if you do it at night when people are sleeping, people are off their guard, and you steal a march, you get the drop on them. And in that circumstance, of course, it's much easier to search the home and find anything that's confiscatable. But the reason why they chose the no-knock approach, the door-kick approach, the full paramilitary assault, was because of something called the threat matrix, which is a checklist that is used by SWAT tactical teams across the country. It comes in various forms. It varies from jurisdiction to jurisdiction, but every one of them is a checklist where you have a certain number of considerations that vary in weight. Your common checklist will deal with the occupants of the house in terms of their background, if any, in terms of criminal history, if they have adverse previous connections or experiences or encounters with law enforcement, if there's evidence of firearms at the home. And that third consideration almost always means that they're going to use a SWAT team. It's just the default setting now that if there's evidence or even suspicion that there are firearms to given residents, then the SWAT team is going to be sent in. They're not going to conduct a conventional arrest. There was an episode in Iowa not too terribly long ago where you had a full-blown military raid that almost ended up with a guy getting shot in the bathroom because somebody at that address had allegedly committed check fraud. He passed a bad check. They sent out a SWAT team. And the reason why they did this was because there were registered guns at that address. In other words, you had law-abiding people who had submitted to, in my opinion, the patently unconstitutional and thoroughly unwise policy of gun registration. So because they had volunteered to the police the information that they had firearms on their premises that were legally owned and had never been involved in a crime, they sent out a SWAT team because somebody at that address allegedly had been passing bad checks. And one of the things they did when they got there, this is interesting, I've seen the video of this, is one of the SWAT raiders tried to disable the security cameras. You can actually see footage of this guy looking up and fiddling with the chassis of the camera and then nodding in satisfaction because it believes, as it turns out, incorrectly, the camera had been disabled. And one of the people in the residence was sitting in the bathroom, and he was one of the people with a registered firearm, and he actually had his firearm within reach there in the bathroom. And he heard the commotion, heard shouting, heard profanity. Almost all these raids involve the type of profanity that would be more suitable for a high school locker room, perhaps, than what you'd expect from adult professionals. But he heard all this. He was about to reach for his gun when the door was kicked in. And if he had actually succeeded in grabbing the gun, he would have been killed right there in the bathroom on the toilet, having done nothing more than engaging in an entirely understandable reflex to protect him. And understand, that's one of the most obnoxious things about the way these raids are carried out. There really is no moral difference, in my opinion, between a home invader of the conventional variety and a police officer who's doing the same thing at 3 in the morning. If you're carrying out the duties of a peace officer, there's no reason on earth why you should be kicking in a door at 3 in the morning unless you're there to rescue somebody whose life is in danger. Otherwise, you're just another home invader. So how are you supposed to distinguish between the two of them if you're dealing with an immediate and unexpected eruption of violence in your home? Your sanctuary has been penetrated. The peace of your life has been disrupted. Suddenly there are armed strangers in your home bellowing at you to get on the ground without explaining why they're there, without seeking any permission or offering any justification. How do you know they're police officers? The predicament that Jonathan Ayers experienced when these guys came boiling out of the Escalade there at the convenience store where he died. He saw three guys dressed in ragged clothes with ski masks. This is the other part of the story. They were wearing ski masks in order to conceal their identity. He saw these people coming at him with brandished guns, and their identification wasn't plainly visible. It looked like they could be medallions of the sort the gangbangers would wear. So he fled, and he was shot and killed because he fled. And according to the policies that were put in place, the standards that are applied by Sheriff Terrell there, this was entirely justifiable because he fled and fleeing, it supposedly compromised the safety of the officers who had frightened him. But, Dr. Stan, this is a country where police kick in doors at 3 in the morning and then burn infants in their cribs. This is the country where people who are called peace officers wear ski masks as they accost people on the streets who are not criminal suspects but merely subjects of an investigation into nonviolent offenses. This is a country where at least 45,000 SWAT raids take place every year. 45,000. We don't have that many crimes of the sort that SWAT teams were supposed to address according to the original concept.
Well, I'll tell you what, we've got a real problem with him, but we're drawing to the end of the hour. So I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with your ministry, how they can get to your books, how they can get to your website, how they get to your... help you financially, your pen pal or other identification. How can people get and help you get the information out? Go right ahead.
Dr. Stan, I really appreciate that. My chief outlet is still my blog, Pro Libertate, which you can find at freedominourtime.blogspot.com. That's direct address, freedominourtime.blogspot.com, or go to Google or some other search engine and type in Pro Libertate or just my name, William N. Grigg. Pro Libertate blog is updated about twice weekly, and the essays are between 1,200 and 2,000 words. There's a PayPal button located at the right-hand margin of the page at the bottom of every essay, and I'm also set up to accept Bitcoin. I have some reservations about it, but quite frankly, if people are interested in donating Bitcoin, I'm happy to receive them. This is my chief means of supporting my family, so really appreciate any help. I also write quite frequently for LewRockwell.com, LEWRockwell.com. Mr. Rockwell is the president of the Von Mises Institute in Alabama. He has a new book out called An Anarcho-Capitalist Manifesto, which is being plugged at that website right now. Not only does he republish a lot of my material from Pro Libertate, but he also contributes to the blog at LewRockwell.com. My radio program is called Freedom's Dulled Radio. And it's broadcast every Saturday night at 8 o'clock Mountain Time, 7 o'clock Pacific, or 9 o'clock Central, on the Liberty News Radio Network, which is found at libertyroundtable.com online. I believe there's a list of terrestrial stations that broadcast the Liberty News Radio program over the airwaves. But if you want, you can just go to libertynewsradio.com and look in the upper right-hand quadrant of the page. There's a Listen Live Now button. Click on that at 8 o'clock Mountain Time, 7 o'clock Central, 9 o'clock Eastern, and listen to my Freedom Zealot radio program. It's a pre-recorded program. I'm unfortunately not doing a live interactive program right now. Hopefully we'll be able to do that again sometime in the near future. And this week's program is going to talk about this horrible case in Georgia and some of the other things that have happened in that jurisdiction and the problems generally with the militarization of law enforcement and what that means about the type of society. So once again, recap, my primary outlet is Pro Libertate, the blog, freedominourtime.blogspot.com. The PayPal button is located at the bottom of every page, every essay, and inside of every page, the right-hand part. LewRockwell.com is another outlet that I write for. And then Freedom Zealot Radio, Saturday night, 8 o'clock Mountain Time, 7 o'clock Pacific, on the Liberty News Radio Network.
And then, of course, William does write the monthly Radio Liberty newsletter, and you can get that certainly by calling us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Ladies and gentlemen, are you either a free society or a society that is certainly going to be a fascist society? I think we're moving rapidly in that direction. You need to get involved because if you're not involved, you're part of the problem. Good night, William. We'll look forward to talking to you next week at the same time.
God bless you, Doctor.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. the U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Have you noticed that America is changing? Our nation is changing because public education is systematically destroying our faith in God and country. They have succeeded. What can you do? If you love your children, take them out of public school and consider homeschooling. The Robinson Homeschool Program is a 12-year curriculum devised by a Christian educator. The classes are presented on CDs and dozens of books are included. Thousands of youngsters have taken the course and successfully gone on to college. The modest price is only $195. If you'd like to obtain some additional information, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. So if you love your children and want them to succeed, call 800-544-8927 and ask about the Robinson Homeschool Program.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when I need to remind you that the reason that we have these problems is because we have sheriffs who don't believe in the Constitution, who believe in an all-controlling local administration. But we do have a movement across America headed by Sheriff Richard Mack, and suddenly where sheriffs are coming forward supporting the Constitution, supporting this idea of local government and responsible, local police enforcement. The most important and highest ranking office in your community is that of sheriff. Now, certainly, as those of you know, I live in Santa Cruz County. We have a Roger Wildey who's running for sheriff here in opposition to the establishment, which is totally corrupt, supported by our local newspaper and Bruce McPherson, and a group of certainly people, I believe, whose loyalty is not to the United States, but to this subversive element. And we have certainly radical leftists here in Santa Cruz, but I'm hoping and praying that Roger Wildey will get to be our sheriff. We need somebody who believes in the Constitution. So if you have not, considered his candidacy, we suggest you look at the background of all three candidates, and I will tell you that the establishment candidate, the current assistant sheriff there, who's being run by the establishment here, does not believe in the Constitution. They don't believe it. They want an all-powerful government to regulate every aspect of our lives. You have an opportunity in the upcoming elections to vote for people locally who believe in the Constitution. There's a growing movement across America. The latest issue of Newsweek magazine came out with a lead article on conspiracies, on
and basically pointed out that almost a third of the people in the United States believe, I should say 23%, I think it was, of the people in the United States believe that there's a conspiracy out there that neither political party represents them. And I think this is certainly what we saw manifested in Europe this last week with overwhelming vote against the European Union. People want sovereignty. The subversive element in Washington, D.C. doesn't believe in the sovereignty of our nation. There's a small group of people, very wealthy, who believe in a one-world government, a one-world monetary system, and that's why they've done everything they can to destroy the fundamentals of this nation, and they're going to topple our monetary system and begin to prepare yourself for that. And, of course, they want to destroy Christianity. And you can see this is why they're taking God and prayer and the Ten Commandments and morality out of our schools. And that's why over 42% of our white children are born out of wedlock, 50% of our Hispanic children, 72% of black children are born out of wedlock. Our schools are promoting sexual immorality. And it's time that you got involved. Now, certainly you can go to our website, radioliberty.com. You can certainly watch our DVDs, watch our, certainly listen to our radio programs, read our newsletters. But even more important than that, ladies and gentlemen, we want you to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. We want you to convince people that they've been lied to about Adolf Hitler. We've got a great 4-CD set that Hitler escaped, and of course he did escape. And I've talked to people who went to South America, who talked to people who knew Adolf Hitler. How could that be? Very simply, the media in America is controlled, and you've got to get that message out, and you've got to talk to three or four people every single day. And I recommend strongly this DVD, this 4-CD set, Did Hitler Escape, another one, The War Against the Jews, going into how we helped the Nazis before, during, and after the war. After all, just like the war on terrorism, you have to have an enemy. And that's exactly what's going on today. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders, our ministers. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so until Monday, we will be back with you once again. Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.
Let us all be grateful.